Match preview at Portland Timbers.
It's probably my favorite away game to go and play. I just think the atmosphere that they bring, the supporters group is there during warm-ups chanting, and you can't hear yourself think during warm-ups, which is unbelievable. And then obviously they fill in the rest of it for the games. It's just a fun place to go play, and it's a fun place to go get some points.
Oh yeah, TFC gonna try and stop that big chainsaw from cutting down all them trees in Portland. Timber Joey, hope to keep him out of work, just like TFC did last week in Montreal, and Georges St-Pierre. I'm Dan Riccio. This is TFC Pitch Side Match Preview here again on Friday as we get you set for the Portland Timbers, as TFC will be at Providence Park for a 3:30 Eastern time kickoff this Sunday, their final road game of this never-ending 8-game road trip to start the season. So what we are going to do, we are, as always, going to take you down to the Kia training grounds. We'll hear from Drew Moore. We'll hear from Greg Vanney. We'll hear from Justin Morrow in a one-on-one exclusive with the TFC left back. We'll do some Did You Know, your three keys to the game, and a history between these two clubs. First off, let's tell you where these teams are at right now. In Toronto FC, they jumped actually to number one in MLS power rankings after their second consecutive win. They beat the Impact 2-0 at Stade Saputo last Saturday, and authorities still searching for Didier Drogba. Rumor has it he has been found. He was in Drew Moore's pocket the whole time. Moore chuckles at those accusations, but Justin Morrow, he also has a few things to say about it. We'll get to that in our one-on-one with the TFC left back in just a bit. The Portland Timbers, meantime, they sit 10th in those MLS power rankings, as they are the reigning MLS champs, but struggling to start the year. And last night, they had a 1-0 lead over New England, but it didn't last.
Caldwell, Nagby, Barmby, bouncing ball. That's going to find the back of the net. Wow, the substitute, Jack Barmby, comes on to score his first Major League Soccer goal, celebrates with the traveling Portland supporters.
Kellen's delivery. There's a man at the back post. Watson scores, and it's loose, and it's in. The Revs have equalized, and now they want the ball back.
89th minute equalizer. It was an own goal for the Portland Timbers, and that's a bit of a heartbreaker. Traveling all the way to the East Coast, you had the 1-0 lead, you played well all game, and you settle for a 1-1 draw. A share of the spoils with the New England Revolution, who just can't seem to get a win anytime soon. The second time that Portland's given up a late equalizer like that this season. I believe the other one was the LA Galaxy. Of course, the Nigel De Jong game. So Portland, their last win came against San Jose. It was a 3-1 victory at Providence Park. They sit 8th in the tough Western Conference now, with 9 points on the year. Let's head down to the trainer's table, and the Reds, they remain with just one injury, as Benoit Cheyroux has that quad strain that's still bugging him. As for Portland, well, they enjoyed the return of Darlington Nagbe last night. He was the victim of that brutal challenge by Nigel De Jong a couple of weeks ago. And so De Jong handed a 3-game suspension. Nagbe, though, is back, and he did collect an assist on Portland's lone goal last night against the Revs. Liam Ridgewell, he is listed as questionable. He is, of course, one of their stalwart defenders and a big reason they were MLS Cup champs last year. He did not play last night of the 1-1 draw with New England, but still listed as questionable by the Timbers for Sunday's game against your Toronto FC. Let's take you down to the Kia training grounds, where TFC had their final day of training here in Toronto on Wednesday, as they traveled on Thursday, and it's a long trip over to Portland, so they wanted to get in Portland and get ready for this matchup a couple of days in advance. They will be training today and on Saturday as well, some light workouts before their game Sunday. So Greg Vanney, and we talked about it Monday with Thomas Michalakos and Kurt Larson on our review show of last weekend's win in Montreal, but he's been a big part of the reason that TFC is doing so well and has 11 points through their first 7 games. At practice, he talked about the ever-changing systems that are going on with TFC this season.
And the way everything has sort of transitioned from, right, we played in a 4-3-3 of sorts. We went to a flat 4-4-2 for various reasons. We've now dabbled a little bit into the diamond. So we know we have the capability of playing in a couple different systems, all of which I thought we defended well in all of them. We've attacked better in some over others, but we've also now got Josie back over the course of that stretch. And as things have progressed, sort of we've fit the pieces together nicely, which has been sort of the constructed plan. Let's defend well, build our confidence, build our foundation, and then start focusing a little bit more on the attacking side. I think we're taking the right steps in that direction.
And the 4-4-2 diamond working quite well, especially since Josie Altidore returned TFC with one draw and two wins with Josie Altidore as a starter this season. Continuing with Greg Vanney, I asked him, because it's always a bit of a talking point, when a team plays on Wednesday, then they have to again play on the weekend, they don't have a lot of time in between. But in this case for Portland, it's even worse because, you know, they have to go to New England, play the Wednesday night game, and then travel all the way back to the West Coast where TFC will already be waiting for them in Portland. So it's a unique situation. Ask Greg Vanney if there's any advantages that TFC can take with these two successive fixtures coming up for Portland.
It's tough to say. I would love to say yes, but I don't know. I mean, we as a team have to go out and make sure that we make the game difficult, that the pace is such that over 90 minutes they start to wear down and the trip maybe means something to them. But if they come out and they dictate the game right away and they control the tempo, then it means nothing. And so, you know, if we do all the right things, then they could start to feel Wednesday at Sunday some point, right? And so who knows? We've also seen where teams play on Wednesday, and because of that, they're in a rhythm, and they show up on Sunday, and they're still in that rhythm, and they play well. So we're not making too much of it. We need to, again, focus on our things. We'll see tonight, obviously, who they play and who they don't play. It might give some indication who they might throw out on the weekend, but we're not putting a ton of stock in that. We have to continue to get better as a team, and we're focusing on those things.
Hey, listen, if TFC play like they did last week against Montreal, they are not going to lose too many games. But on a week-to-week basis, it's hard to get that level of consistency going, especially in MLS, especially on the road. Speaking of which, TFC attempting to win three consecutive MLS road games for the first time in franchise history. They are also attempting to post three consecutive clean sheets in MLS play for the first time in franchise history. Not on the road, just three consecutive clean sheets. Yes, this is year 10.
The celebration!
It would be unbelievable if they could do that once again. As for Drew Moore, you heard him off the top there talking about the atmosphere in Portland and what it feels like to be a player in that environment. He also knows the type of environment that comes after you win an MLS Cup. And with Portland starting off slowly this year, they've only got a handful of wins and 9 points so far through 8 games. It's not a great start by any stretch of the imagination. So former MLS Cup winner Drew Moore, I asked him if there's such thing as an MLS Cup hangover.
Maybe a little bit. You know, I think the tendency in the offseason after you win a championship is to rest a little bit because it is a long season. It is a grind. You've gone through, you know, over a month of playoff games. You know, you put the regular season before that, but they'll certainly, you know, look to put that behind them on Sunday. You know, I think they're probably looking at us as a pretty good team that's going to come in and that's used to playing on the road now. And regardless of what their form is, we still want to go and take the game to them and be ourselves. And, you know, if they're going to have an off day, then we need to put them away. But we're not expecting that from them. We're expecting a battle, and that's the mentality that we're going to take into it.
So 8 games on the road, and it culminates this Sunday in Portland. And TFC could maybe get 14 points out of these 8 games. They maybe do have a bit of an advantage because Portland is on a double game week, and that's never really all that easy. But we'll get into some reasons why Portland maybe shouldn't worry about that too much. But that'll come in our three keys to the game. Had a great chat down at the Kia training ground with the most consistent TFC performer over the last few seasons, maybe outside of Michael Bradley, but it is Justin Morrow. Certainly on the back line, there has been nobody that has been as consistent as Justin Morrow. TFC fans, very lucky to have him. We spoke to him down at the Kia training ground.
TFC pitch side, Dan Riccio here at the Kia training grounds. Now talking to Justin Morrow, left back for your Toronto FC. Great start to the year. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, positive start.
We talked about this with Greg Vanney for just a second, but last Saturday, Norm Kelly, city councilor here in Toronto, okay, also known as the Six Dad, he sent out a tweet, and it was Jay's game today, Raptors playoffs, Marley's playoffs. Great day to be a Toronto sports fan. So he kind of forgot about the big derby game, Montreal and Toronto. Do you think we're at a point now where TFC is maybe just forgotten about because they haven't played at home yet? Or is it a case where you guys have to make your name for yourselves?
Yeah, I think we do have to make a name for ourselves. And I think we've gotten off to a good start this year, even though we've been on the road. Something that, you know, a little pressure that we do put on ourselves, that we do want to be known around the city as a good team.
And so far, you guys are doing that with the three wins on the year already. Do you think it'll help if you guys get the win here in Portland this weekend and stroll into the first game at BMO Field, riding one of the best records in the Eastern Conference, maybe the best record in the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you've seen with the Raptors and you've seen with the Blue Jays, once a team gets on a roll here, the hype around it, the city really gets behind their team. So we're looking to do the same thing.
Now, you at left back, it's like it's the most been the most consistent thing with TFC for the last 3 years. I don't know if fans know this, but like you've just been an absolute stalwart, and you just continue to go out there and put good performances up. Now the whole back line is certainly settling in. How has it helped you and your level and just the entire team to have that kind of calming feeling back there?
Yeah, it's been great so far this year. We've had little turnover compared to what we've had in the past year. Our lineup's been consistent. And I think that's helped a lot. And the guys that we've got back there, the guys that we had last year, plus a couple added guys that we brought in during the offseason has been tremendous additions. And I think you said it right. We feel comfortable right now. I think we've played this road trip as if a veteran team. And so we've showed that in our performances and our maturity. And that's very important right now.
Now, last year, TFC, you guys gave up 58 goals, joint worst in the league. This year, right now, you've given up the least in the league. If you were to pick a car for last year's defense compared to this year's defense, like what would last year's defense be in terms of a car compared to this year's?
Last year's defensive car might have been like I'm gonna get in trouble for this. I'm gonna say something like a Volkswagen, like a Passat or something. You know, it's great when it's going good, but when it breaks down, it really breaks down. It's expensive to fix.
Yet, so it's okay.
Let's see, this year's car. Let me see. I'm thinking of all that.
It can't be like a Lambo yet.
No, not yet. I'm thinking about my teammate's car. What I could liken it to. Maybe that Chevy Tahoe out there that Drew's got. You know, is a big, tough to get around. I like that.
I like that too. Speaking of Drew, he gets the team of the week nod this week for MLS. Did you guys congratulate him for putting Didier in his pocket for 90 minutes?
Yeah, that was an impressive performance. I think. Individually, he did a great job, but collectively, it was all about the team performance on Saturday. You know, we shut down a lot of their offensive weapons. Obviously, Drew was a big part of that, but our midfield was a big part of it as well.
Now, the bonus of shutting out Montreal last week was keeping Georges St-Pierre quiet, not having that Northern Star bell rung.
Yeah, I did particularly enjoy that.
And that's what a rivalry is all about. Like, in terms of your career, like, how does that Montreal and Toronto rivalry rank for you right now?
It's definitely up there playing with the Quakes against the Galaxy. That's a massive rivalry, a rivalry that goes, yeah, the Cali Classico that goes down in MLS history, you know. And we've had those matches that we had over there. We had a couple of ones that you won't forget, so... Montreal Toronto's getting up there, especially with the history that we have now with the playoffs last year. Bitter taste in our mouth.
So as we mentioned earlier, you're pretty consistent. You rarely get hurt. Hopefully that continues. But, you know, you just stepped out of the gym. What's up with your workout routine that keeps you so consistent over this time?
I mean, I got to thank the staff here. The staff here has been great. I've had a couple of guys, but now Tom Williams is in there now, and he's doing a great job coming over from Leicester City. Every guy brings something new to the job and new to my book, and I take little pieces of everybody and learn it and keep it in my book as well.
Is Portland one of the best places to play in MLS, you think?
Yeah, it's definitely fun. They have a great crowd. The city's cool. It's definitely weird over there. They keep it weird. I'm looking forward to going there.
All right, well, just like you kept GSP quiet on the Northern Star Bell, you keep that chainsaw quiet this weekend.
All right, like the sound of that.
Justin Morrow, I do, but, you know, when we asked him that car question, not too pleased that he said Volkswagen. You know, I know, like, there's a cliche about V-dub truthers, but I'm like one of them, you know? I bought a Volkswagen a couple of years ago. It's the best thing that I've ever driven in my life. Producer Emil Delich drives a Jetta. I drive a Golf. We love it.
Volkswagen, das Auto.
And yes, we are two of the guys that are polluting your air with the diesel Golfs and diesel Jettas. But we save money on gas. We use less gas. It's kind of a catch-22. And eventually it will get fixed. So don't hate on me. And I feel like Justin Morrow, you know, he kind of bought into the whole, you know, Volkswagens are bad cars. That's kind of the narrative in the U.S. You ever watch Mad Men? Oh, all they do is rip on Volkswagen and their lemons. The Germans and their cars. Yeesh. But anyways, outside of that, Justin Morrow, with that new hairdo, looking really good for TFC so far this season. Last year, TFC played one game against Portland, and it was at BMO Field, and it was a brilliant Sebastian Giovinco goal. Scored it in the 5th minute. Reds hang on for a 1-0 win. Just one of 5 clean sheets that they had in MLS play all season long. They've already kept 3 here in 2016. Just goes to show how far they have come. At BMO, TFC has won 3 of the 4 meetings between the two. But the last time they played Portland in Portland was 2013. Only 3 seasons ago. You'd expect that there's some holdovers on these squads, right? Not so much for TFC. Here is part of their starting 11 from September 7th, 2013.
Let's take a look at the starting 11 for the Canadians, and Ryan Nelson bringing out a familiar face in goal. Joe Bendick, he'll be relied upon heavily. Stephen Caldwell will captain this side. Up front, it's Robert Earnshaw.
Yeah, none of them were Canadian in the starting 11. So that was a bit wrong. I know it's kind of a like one of those things that announcers do, like, the Italians playing for Juventus and stuff like that. But there was no Canadians on the starting 11, and there is one holdover from that squad in 2013, at least in the starters and in the 18 for the game, and that is Mark Bloom, the only one that is still a member of your Toronto FC. And, the rest of the game, as you would expect, the 2013 Reds weren't all that good. And so, you know, they got obliterated in Portland.
Touch from Earnshaw, careless. Molari, too happy to oblige. Chara continues to bustle away. May this be the moment. Valencia trying to put it on that left foot. It's still on for the 21-year-old. Will Johnson, you betcha! 2 is good, 3 is better, and 3 big points for the Portland Timbers.
Yeah, and they would add one more. It was a 4-0 loss for the Reds the last time they visited Portland. And funnily enough, in that 18, Max Cerruti was in the 18 for TFC. He has since played for the Portland Timbers and is also now with FC Dallas. So he's had a long road as Max Cerruti, but he's actually finally seemingly found his feet a little bit in MLS. So that was the last time TFC played there in Portland. The only other time they met, it finished in a draw. The away side has never won in this fixture between the two clubs. Did you know Fernando Adi is pretty good. Scores a lot of goals for the Timbers. He is their all-time leading scorer, and expect him to start on Sunday for Portland against TFC. Diego Valeri, he is unbelievable, maybe one of the more underrated players in all of MLS. 29 goals, 41 assists. Obviously, if you saw MLS Cup, you realize Valeri was a big reason why they were taking home the championship last year. Darlington Nagbe, he was taken second overall by the Timbers in the 2011 Super Draft. Vancouver picked first. They were the two newcomers to MLS that year. And Vancouver selected Omar Salgado.
You say what?
No, nobody remembers him all that well. Yeah, he doesn't play for Vancouver anymore. I think he's in Liga MX, I believe, but not playing all that much.
Major key alert.
So it's safe to say who made the better pick, because Darlington Nagbe still getting better with Portland and still providing a lot with Portland, and they did win an MLS Cup. With some thanks going to Darlington Nagbe, of course. The Timbers MLS logo incorporates elements of the former USL design. The primary reference to the original crest is the circular shape that represents unity, wholeness, and the pursuit of perfection. The axe pays homage to the Pacific Northwest's logging industry, as loggers traditionally used axes to cut down trees. Yep, those and axes and chainsaws, that's pretty much the tool of choice. There are three chevrons organized to resemble a pine tree that refer to the Timbers' membership in three separate leagues: the original NASL, the United Soccer Leagues, and Major League Soccer. The team's colors, Ponderosa green and moss green, represent the state of Oregon's forests. Yes, that is straight off the Portland Timbers Wikipedia site. Not going to hide it. Time for your major key alert.
Major key alert.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you, DJ Khaled. Your three keys to the game. First and foremost, stop Diego Valeri and stop Benedetto Addy. The Timbers' number 10, Valeri, is one of the best playmakers in the league. Get this. He averages over four shots per game and over four key passes per game. So from Valeri alone, the Timbers generate eight shots per game. Just from Valeri alone. So yeah, you need to limit his space in the midfield. TFC did a great job with Piatti and Drogba last week. We all know that, but Addy and Valeri are just as good, and TFC in tough to do that once again, this time in Portland. Attack down the wings. Portland, most susceptible to attacks down the flanks. So you get Giovinco on that space on the left wing, get him cutting in on that right foot of his. Do so just as well with Jozy Altidore. We saw that when he created the penalty last week in Montreal. Good things will happen. I also expect to see the fullbacks pushing forward again and making TFC's diamond kind of look like a 3-4-1-2 of sorts. If you do that, you get some width, you'll be good in Portland, Toronto FC. Take the crowd out of it. Look, TFC, they had a lot of games where they started slow this year, but they've done a great job the last couple of weeks getting on the board in the first half. And then scoring even in the first minute against DC a couple of weeks ago. So if you do that again, that'll be a major key, because Portland's crowd, among the best in the league, and it's a very, very hostile environment at Providence Park in Oregon. There's your three keys to the game. Finally, to round up the MLS midweek fixtures, you know that New England and Portland drawed 1-1. As for New York City FC and the Montreal Impact, well, your boy, the one who refused to come on TFC pitchside, Dominic Aduro, scored late and earning the Impact a 1-1 draw at Yankee Stadium. Something funny happening with NYCFC. They're playing their games on tape delay.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
On the Yes Network. But I'm sure NYCFC fans are saying, no, no. No, but yeah. Also, Frank Lampard, I got to get this off my chest. Frankie boy, you know, first off, your whole MLS career has been a complete bust. And I know Frankie, we're buds, not actually, but you decided to come to MLS, signing with New York City FC, and then you end up sticking with Manchester City for the entire year, delaying your entrance to MLS, and you never got hurt in the English Premier League, but seemingly now with NYC, you can never get on the field. There are milk cartons in New York right now that have pictures of Frank Lampard on the side saying, "Where are you, Frank? NYC needs you. Where are you, Frank? When will you get back on the field? Andrea Pirlo looks old. Can't play defense all that well. David Villa is the only good player we have. Mix Diskerud, despite his beautiful hair, is quite poor at playing football. And we're the worst team in MLS. What are we going to do without you, Frank? You're 37 years old. You need to come out of the retirement home and help us play footy." These are all things that New York City fans are probably saying right now. The late game saw Vancouver draw 1-1 with Sporting KC. So three games, all finishing 1-1. And there's your midweek MLS roundup. I'm Dan Racho. This was a TFC pitch side match preview. The Reds, they're in Portland Sunday, 3:30 kickoff, their final of this 8-game road trip. And then they will be back here in Toronto. First game at BMO Field, May the 7th. Against FC Dallas, currently the top team in MLS. It will be from Portland, the Chromatics, with this song, Cherry, taking us out. At Dan Riccio 590, at Unfit Ref, that's where you can follow Thomas and our producer, the wonderful Emil Delich, at Aman Delich. And of course, he's the one who runs our TFC Pitchside Instagram page, which is TFC_Pitchside. We'll be back Monday to wrap up TFC in Portland and their 8-game road trip. Talk to them. Tells me so.